The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to The Bad Broadcast. I'm your host, Maddie Murphy.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of The Bad Broadcast. My name is Maddie. I'm your host, and I'm so pleased that you've decided to spend your Monday morning with me. Statistically speaking, most of you guys listen on Mondays at 11 a.m. So thank you for sharing your mid-morning with me. Also, thanks for the response to last week's episode and me talking about my weight. Definitely almost cut it out. Definitely got really anxious about it the night before. And then I thought, literally why? Literally why are we scared of it? Like, I decided it's like telling somebody your blood type. It doesn't even change anything about the way you look or the size you are or anything, but it's just this number, this metric. I don't know. And I was glad I left it in because I had a lot of good conversations with you guys. You guys were very nice, very supportive. Yeah. Just wanted to say thank you for that. We're starting off today's episode with just a list. It's not a love-hate list. It's a list I've never done before. I got this idea from Claire and she asked me, what are things you never scroll past? Like if you're watching TikTok, what's a video that you will always stop on? So I started collecting a list for like the last 2 weeks and I have my always watching list and my always skipping list. So I just thought I would share this with you guys because I wanted to. So the first thing that I will always watch are those tests that people do with twins where they stand with a wall between them and then they have somebody ask them questions like, raise your hand, and then they always do the same hand, or like, okay, do a dance, and then the twins do the same dance. Twin telepathy, gorgeous and very real. I mean, it is as real to me as anything. I mean, if mother's intuition is real, then twin telepathy has to be real. Like your brains developed right next to each other. You're telling me that you guys can't like read each other's minds? I believe it. So I always watch twin telepathy. The next thing I always watch is ballerina content. Ballerina, like not Ballerina Farm, although I do be stopping on some Ballerina Farm videos occasionally. It's not really my like entertainment of choice, but I do enjoy some farm content. But no, ballerina, like just actual ballerinas. I am fascinated by professional ballerinas. Ballet, let me just give a shout out to the ballerina community. If you're listening, you have my endless respect because here's the thing about ballet. It is one of the hardest physical feats that a human body can do, but you have to do it while making it look like it's the easiest thing you've ever done. Like a lot of sports, a lot of physical, you know, competitions, it's like they look hard. Like tennis looks hard. Weightlifting looks hard. Basically any sport looks hard. Ballet, no, you can't be breathing heavy. You can't be grunting. You have to be light as a feather, dainty, airy. When I see a ballerina sit on the floor to break in those point shoes, I go feral for it. I love it. However, I do have a question. Why can't they just make better point shoes? I'm sure it's like the tradition of ballet and the point shoes, whatever, but like they're made of solid wood. Like every single ballerina, you have to like hit them and crack them and twist them and like soak them in ethanol. I don't know. But the fact that they can't just like make better point shoes, I don't know. I feel like I could do a better job. I find myself saying that a lot though lately. I feel like I could do a better job. The thing that comes to mind is JoJo Siwa's rebrand. I feel like I could have rebranded her better than she did. Like in case you missed it, JoJo Siwa, I'm a Dance Moms apologist. OG. I remember renting the episodes on iTunes like when I was in high school. I've always loved Dance Moms. So I've been around for JoJo with a Bobo. I've seen her in all her forms. She's like a billionaire. You guys know that, right? Like the JoJo brand is like worth well over $1 billion. And this is the rebrand she went with. Like she basically just took her little kid persona of like sparkles and sequins and stuff and started wearing black sequins and black bows. Like that's her rebrand. And when she's like, I'm having my bangers era reputation slate. Like, no, you can't just wear black and call it a reputation era. That's not how it works. If JoJo had come to me, I could have rebranded her better. I would have started dressing her like cool, edgy, Gen Z lesbian. And then I would have honestly, first of all, I would have had her get away from music. Okay. No more music for JoJo. She needs to be banned. I think that she should have gotten an acting coach. She should have attempted to break into the acting industry in a serious manner. Because can you imagine, like, do you remember when Vanessa Hudgens and I think it was Vanessa Hudgens and Selena Gomez did Spring Breakers? That's what JoJo should have done. She was too focused on bangers and reputation. She should have had a Spring Breakers era where she did like some edgy, sexy rated R movie, like an indie movie. I don't know. That's what I think she should have done. And then dropped all of the sequins, picked up a sensible pair of denim and a black tank and call it a day. She should have cut her hair short. I don't know why I know this, but she cosplayed as Draco Malfoy one time. That's the haircut she should have had. A cool, icy blonde, like pixie cut. JoJo, if you're listening, have your people call my people. My people is just me. And I'm assuming your people is your mom, Jessalyn, which I'd love to have a chat with her. Okay. Back to the things that I'm never skipping when I'm watching TikTok, harmonizing video. When I see two friends sitting in a stairwell harmonizing, or like that one that's going viral right now, which is the girl harmonizing to her kitchen fan, like the oven fan, and she's harmonizing to it. Like, I have never, ever, I think I talked about this in my episode with Lucy, right? Because Lucy can harmonize to anything. And it's like the most impressive skill to me because I can't harmonize. Like, I remember being in church as a kid and hearing like the girls next to me, like harmonizing to hymns. And being like, how do you do that? And they're like, well, you just look at the note and then you just move your voice up and down with the notes. I was like, okay, perfect. That's definitely something I can do. But I never have been able to do it. However, there is one 303 song that I can adequately harmonize to. Let me know if you want to hear it. But yeah, when I see harmonizing videos or I hear people harmonize, it just, oh, it gets me so jazzed. I love harmonizing videos. The next video I'm never skipping, historical facts. I see a video with like historical events you didn't realize happened at the same time. And it's like Barbara Walters, Martin Luther King Jr. and Anne Frank were all born the same year. Like those facts, I love a historical fact slideshow. Or the fact that Cleopatra lived closer to our time than she did to the building of the pyramids of Giza. That's crazy. The woolly mammoths were still alive when there were pyramids of Giza. Wait, did I say that right? When the pyramids of Giza were built. Like I really go crazy for those because it just feels, I don't know, feels educational. Maybe because it is, Maddie. Maybe because learning historical facts is actually educational. That's why it feels that way. Okay, the next thing I'm never skipping, a home haircut. When girls are standing there and they say, I'm going to cut my own bangs at home. I buckle in. I pop popcorn. I get nice and cozy because I'm not skipping a second of that. Same with waxing. Same with when they wax themselves at home. I've tried to wax myself at home. It's never going to work for me. Never. It's self-harm at this point for me to wax myself at home. But yeah, home haircuts, waxing, dyeing, any DIY beauty thing I watch. I also love a simple get ready with me. I'm not hard to please. I will watch a get ready with me all day. Okay, this next one is very specific, but there is an account called, well, her name's Cafe Haley. That's who she is on TikTok. And I feel like she's a little bit more well-known, but she has a boyfriend. His name is Chuck. And they have an account called Chuck and Haley where they make dinner every Friday night. And it's my new favorite TV show. It's always like a 10-minute vlog of them making dinner. And I love it. It's the best part of my week when like I put Coco down and then I can take a really long shower, do some self-tan, give myself a blowout, put my Skims on, settle into a new episode of Chuck and Haley. I'm set. Serotonin replenished, oxytocin flowing. I love it. Okay. Next thing I'll never skip, any sort of sorority content. I did not have a normal college experience. And to this day, it is one of my biggest regrets. Trust me, I have many things that I could regret in my life. But when I think about it, a lot of them like led me here. So like, I don't want to, but college being a fun, crazy experience, I think I could have done that and still ended up with the life that I have now, which I very much enjoy. I wish I had just like moved away or just like tried something new. Like That's what I wish for Coco. Like, she can do anything she wants. I don't even care. As long as she is safe, happy, and not harming anybody, I just want her to have the best life ever. And I also want her to be braver than I was, especially when it comes to things like moving away for college. I was just so scared. I was so scared to leave home. I was so scared to leave my friends. I didn't want to go too far. And I mean, you don't know what you don't know. So how could I have possibly known that moving away would have been good for me? But when I see sorority content or like Rush Week or just like get ready with me for the Alabama Roll Tide tailgate. How fun is that? How fun. I love to see those girlies getting out there and living their best lives. So I love sorority content. I follow this one girl who's a Crimsonette at University of Alabama, and I love to see it. Okay. The last thing that I will never skip is Svalbard content. If you guys don't follow Cecilia from Svalbard, she is this girl and she lives in Svalbard, which is the northernmost city on the planet, I believe. It's part of Scandinavia. It's like technically Norway. I could absolutely be lying about that. But she's lived there for 8 years and it's basically just this little ice village. And they have polar night, which means for 3 months out of the year, the sun never rises. And they have polar day, which means for 3 months out of the year, the sun never sets. And they just live in this little cabin and they have a wood burning fireplace. And am I fully convinced that I could live there? Yeah. You know, when I say that to people who love me, they say, Maddie, you complain about winter after 2 weeks here. And I literally told my friends, hey, if I ever complain about the summer, just remind me how much I hated winter. But yeah, do I think I could live in Svalbard where the temperature never gets above 9 degrees and they literally have to like air out their, oh, that's what it is. Okay. That's what I think I need to start doing. They air out their duvets. Like she takes their duvet off their bed every day and she hangs it over the railing in like frigid Arctic temperatures. That's what I think I need. I think I need to be airing out my duvets in polar weather. But yeah, their life is very fascinating. They literally have to carry guns with them everywhere because polar bears like wander the village. It's nuts. Okay. And here's my always skipping list. It's very short. Two men on a podcast, unless it's The Basement Yard or Trixie and Katya. Those are the only like, actually, you know, I shouldn't even say I'm always skipping them because sometimes I do stick around. I stick around to see what I'm not missing. And it's crazy, the confidence. If any of you are out there thinking of starting a podcast and you think, what do I have to say? What's cool about what I have to say? Just know that no man has ever asked themselves that. No man has ever sat there and said, is what I have to say important? No, because if they had anyone in their life who was honest with them, they would say, no, shut your face hole and don't say that ever again. We don't have enough women who have delusional confidence. So let's pick that up, shall we? That's what I'm trying to adopt with my like whole bikini thing. I got some bikinis. I got some from Aerie. I got some from Skims. The Skims ones were not as good as I wanted them to be. The Aerie ones were good, but I just feel like I'm committing a crime by wearing them. Like I feel like I'm going to get in trouble for public exposure. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Athena Club. This summer, I'm trying to be at the pool. I'm trying to be in the sun. I'm also trying to be slick and smooth and shaven. And my razors that I buy that are like $2 really are not cutting it. They don't give me a close enough shave. They usually give me some weird rash. I'm usually dry after. So I like to dabble in a little thing I like to call the Athena Club razor. First of all, it's a great price point. It's such a steal. It's only $10, but don't let the price fool you because this packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made handle, two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every single time. It's got a magnetic hook and don't forget the quality of the blade. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those 5 precision engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let hair pass through with each stroke, so you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. It's a multitasking razor and it moisturizes while you shave. It has an avocado oil and hyaluronic acid serum and built-in skin guards that help prevent razor burn. So if you think all razors are created equal and you haven't made the switch, you need to try Athena Club's razor kit. It's the best deal you'll get on a premium razor and it will keep you feeling confident confident in your own skin all year long. After I shaved like two times with my old razor, it never worked as well. Athena Club keeps delivering the smooth shave. So if you are ready to upgrade your shaving experience, switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off of your purchase with code BAD at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Clean Simple Eats. You guys are already well aware that I like to find things that taste delicious. And bonus, while I'm on my health journey, it's great if they can taste delicious and also give me enough protein. That's why I have become obsessed with Clean Simple Eats. And I tell absolutely everybody about it. All of my friends, loved ones, family, they are hooked on it. And I don't want to take full credit, but I am basically their biggest fan. I love Clean Simple Eats because they are just that, clean and simple. Their protein powder is always grass-fed with no seed oils, no artificial ingredients. It is always third-party tested, non-GMO, and gluten-free. This protein powder is creamy and smooth. I know a lot of people's hang-up with protein powder is that it's got that weird, gritty feeling to it. Not Clean Simple Eats. There's no chalky texture that is common in most other protein powders. We all know how important protein is in our diet, and Clean Simple Eats is the most delicious way to hit your protein goals. It's hard to get enough protein. You really need to be conscious of it and make sure that every meal has adequate protein. And each serving of Clean Simple Eats has 20 grams of protein, making it the perfect addition to make sure you're hitting your numbers. It's my favorite protein to have in my protein ice cream. I'm usually doing a protein shake in the morning and then an ice cream at the end of the day. I'm getting all the protein I could possibly want, and I love all of the flavors. The s'mores is my current obsession in my ice cream. So visit cleansimpleeats.com and use the code BAD10 at checkout for 10% off of your order. That's cleansimpleeats.com, code BAD10 for 10% off of your order. Okay, so today's episode is not about that as a whole. It's about you guys being crazy ass bitches, because I asked you, what's something you've done to get somebody's attention that is just justifiably unhinged? And I support you guys in whatever unhinged behavior you want to do. Like, I am the friend who will find a way to make it cool that you did something weird. But I do think that some of us need some help. So let's get into the justifiably unhinged behavior you guys have dabbled in to get somebody's attention. First up, I had a huge crush on my friend's brother. Bad idea. And I knew he was moving to another city for work next year after graduating. So logically, what did I do? I applied to grad schools in the same city. Had I ever been there or had any interest in going there? Absolutely not. But I sure acted like I was super invested to the schools there and that it was pure coincidence that we would be going to the same area. Now, you might not think this is outrageous, but grad school applications are about $100 each, and I applied to 7 schools for a boy who barely knew I existed. Anyway, I didn't get into grad schools in that city, and he got a different job on the other side of the country. He's now married with a kid, and I'm sitting pretty with my master's degree from the school I actually wanted to go to. Here's what I found with a lot of these unhinged stories. They actually led you to your current life. They led you to finding something better. So really, I can't fault you for doing something unhinged, because at the end of the day, it led you to your wildest dreams. Having a crush on your friend's brother or your brother's friend is truly, I try not to say this a lot, but it is canon. It is a canon event that you, like, there's every single person has had this experience. Oh, I can't even actually think about the times I've had crushes on my brother's friends and I've had the most embarrassing behavior. And that was like my brothers saw me act like that. Like, what do people with little siblings cringe at the things your little siblings do? I've always wondered this, because coming from the youngest, everything my older siblings did was cool. Like, absolutely everything. There wasn't a joke that was told, a song that was listened to that wasn't the coolest thing. And tell me, older siblings, do you guys have a complex about that? You know what? I am dating an oldest sibling, and I'm going to confirm yes. I'm going to confirm yes. And sometimes I have to say, stop there. Stop there. That's older brother behavior. And I can't have that in my home because I was raised around older brothers and they tease and they think their jokes are way funnier than they actually are. But because they had little siblings, they don't know. They don't know. We were too validating. We were too validating. And as younger siblings, we were crushed. We were crushed too often. So next time you meet a youngest sibling, just give them your condolences for their former confidence. Okay. Next one. I love this one. When I was in high school, I worked with this super cute guy at a Froyo place. I bought scrubs, put them on at Walmart, and stopped by the Froyo place just to say hi. I thought it would make me look cool and grown up. What if he asked? What if he was like, why are you in scrubs? Like, what's going on? Also, you were in high school, so why would you have been in scrubs? Dress for the job you want, not the job you have, obviously. Okay, next one. I wanted to impress a senior boy in my Spanish class. I heard he liked Eminem, so I memorized an entire Eminem song, I Hate Rap, just in case an opportunity arose for me to rap in front of him. Sadly, actually, super gratefully, the day never came for him or for me to show off my new skills. I talked about this, I think in the last time we did, like, what's the dumbest thing you've done to get a guy to like you? And mine's always rap. Mine's like memorizing full rap albums that I still know to this day. Quiz me on Watch the Throne by Jay-Z and Kanye. I know every word, unfortunately, and I actually hate it. Apparently there's Drake and Kendrick beef happening right now. I didn't know about it, but my brothers were talking about it in the group chat and they sent like Kendrick's response. And I said, I need somebody to ELI five this really quick. And thankfully my brother McKay really stepped up to the plate. Let me summarize the Drake and Kendrick beef for those of you that weren't sure what was going on. Kendrick was mean. Drake was meaner. And then Kendrick was the meanest. That's the explanation I got. And honestly, thank you. That was all I needed. That was all I needed. I don't need much more. I just need to know who's fighting with who. Like, I don't need a full breakdown. Just give me that. Okay. Next one. My freshman year of college, I started casually seeing / hooking up with one of my coworkers. He was 7 years older and all of my friends hated him. I know, red flags, but I was infatuated. He was so cool and definitely the bad boy / player type. Like, bad boy / player, that means he wore a silver chain around his neck. Like, that's how we classified bad boys in my day. And I was an 18-year-old innocent freshman. Anyway, we hung out several times and he was so cool and nice and hot when we were together, but unattracted when we were apart. We'd go days, sometimes weeks without talking. I would hear about him going out with other girls and became very jealous and obsessive. This is where the crazy comes in. Back in the day, Instagram would show us the pictures our followers liked and commented on. I can't believe that. Do you know how many people were getting exposed? That was the original 23andMe, was the Instagram Explore page, because you could go there and you could see what all of your followers were liking and commenting on. So people would catch their mans like commenting on and liking other girls' pictures. How dumb do you have to be to do that? Anyway, okay, let's see. It would tell us. So I spent hours looking at all his likes and comments. Surprise, all the pictures were of hot girls. So then I'd spend hours stalking their profiles and reading their flirty comments back and forth. I'd also drive around campus looking for his car because I knew he'd be at class or work. We worked together at a campus job that had several locations. So I switched shifts and locations just to work with him. Shortly after, he switched to different ones or would get people to cover his shift. The most unhinged part was that I would literally watch a live feed of him from campus cameras while he was at work. I'd watch him for hours, and every time he would flirt with students or girls would come by and visit him at work and bring him treats. And that's the story of how I turned full stalker. Something must have been up with this guy, because who has multiple girls bringing them treats to work? That was the real heavy hitter when it came to flirting in younger years, was I'll bring you a treat to work. I remember I was so desperate to get this guy to like me. I would bring him breakfast. I would bring him breakfast. I don't even do that for the father of my child. I don't even do that. Sorry, Gray, if you're listening. There was a time where I was the type of girl who would literally wake up, but it was always like, hey, I'm just going here. Can I grab you anything? Like, I'm on my way over there. I'm passing your work. And I happen to have a bacon, egg, and cheese, add tomato on a hoagie. Do you want it? And guess what? Men never take that as signs to like you more. They take that as signs to keep you around. So they're not going to fall in love with you, but they are going to find ways to make sure you don't get with anyone else. Okay, next one. I made out with my guy friend of 6 years. He didn't call or text. He didn't call or text for a week. So I called him and I told him I had something very serious to tell him. We were both very naive. And I told him that I was pregnant and he was the last guy I touched. He was utterly flabbergasted. And he said, "But we didn't have sex." To which I replied, "But we kissed." I let him freak out about it for a few minutes until I told him it was a joke. He was speechless and he said it was the meanest thing anyone has ever done to him. We are not meant to be, but that was the most unhinged thing I've done to someone. Gaslighting somebody out of science is a crazy behavior. Be like, "No, no, 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 no. We kissed. Don't you know? Don't you know about that urban legend?" The urban legends, Christian girls everywhere were destroyed by urban legends because they were getting frisky in the backseats of cars fully clothed. And then they would hear one urban legend, "Didn't you hear?" Where it was on his belt buckle and it got on her underwear. And then 3 weeks later, she was pregnant. No, that didn't happen. You know how hard, like, sorry, but it's hard to get pregnant. Like you have to, I know people accidentally get pregnant, but it's not like that. It's not like you accidentally made out and like straddled him in his dorm room. Okay. It's like accidentally pregnant is a crazy concept, but I know it happens, of course, but not to me. People think my pregnancy was on accident. It wasn't. Actually, today, I'm recording this on May 1st. 1 year ago today, I found out that I was pregante and it was the best day of my life. I actually wished that I had gotten pregnant sooner. We found out, yeah, in May, and I had like at the end of March last year, I started my period and I was like really sad. I was like, wait, why aren't we pregnant yet? I've known you for 60 days. Why are we not pregnant? But we did end up getting pregnant very fast and it was the best thing that ever happened to either of us. That might be my most unhinged behavior, but luckily I was with somebody who was ultimately as unhinged as I was. So it worked out. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all have something we need to get off our chest. Here's mine. I just parallel parked for the first time about 3 days ago. I'm 30 years old. I had never parallel parked before. Okay, maybe that's not like the thing I need to get off my chest, but we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get all of these things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. The best part about therapy for me is that it's a completely unbiased third party listening to my life. It's not somebody that I'm friends with or related to that has their thoughts and feelings about my life. It's somebody who can see things a lot more objectively and give me some good guidance. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. I know it's hard to find time between work and hobbies and kids and friends and family functions, all of these different things. It's hard to find time to sit down and have a therapy session, but BetterHelp makes it super easy because it is so convenient. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So head into therapy and get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bad to get 10% off of your first month. Once again, that is BetterHelp, spelled better, HELP.com/bad to get 10% off of your first month.
Hi, I'm Caroline Stanbury, star of The Real Housewives of Dubai, entrepreneur, wife, and mother of three, once divorced and now remarried to a much younger man. Uncut and Uncensored with Caroline Stanbury follows me as I live my life unapologetically and shows you that there is life after 40. I discuss everything from relationships, health, wellness, business, parenting, friendships. I'm here to let you know that not only is there a life after divorce, but you have the power to make it your best one yet, just like I did. Listen to all new episodes every Wednesday, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Okay, so I want to give some context for this. So there's a thing here in Utah, it's called EFY. Well, it's Mormon. It's not necessarily Utah, but it's called EFY. And it's like a week-long church camp. It's like a sleepaway camp is what I would call it. You go from when you're like 14 to 16 or something, or 13 to 16. I don't know. Pretty sure I went 5 years in a row. Okay. She says, I went to EFY when I was 14. It stands for especially for youth. I don't even know if this exists anymore. Sound off in the comments. So I went to EFY when I was 14, and being from Utah, And being from Utah just wasn't cool enough. So I decided to fake an Australian accent for the entire week. And boy, I committed to the bit. But I did sort of a light accent. And when people asked me about it, I said I moved here when I was like 5. So that's why I didn't really have it anymore. And this was before Bluey. So everyone just went with it. I don't know if I got more attention. But yeah, that was nuts because I've never been to Australia. And I don't know how to do that accent. Love your pod. I've been here since day one. And I think we should be friends IRL. Cheers, mate. Cheers, mate. Australian is not an accent that I can do. I remember having that thought when I was younger. Like, I can just have an accent. Like, I can just decide. And honestly, I think a lot of people are out here just deciding the same thing. I think a lot of people are just saying, you know what? I can just have an accent. I'm sorry. If you moved here from the UK when you were 3 years old, you don't have an accent anymore. Honestly, if you moved here when you were 10 and you're in your 40s, there's no reason for you to have an accent anymore. I'm not like a Tinks stan by any means, but she was born and raised in London. And then she moved here when she was like 20. And now she kind of sounds more American. And she's like, I'm not going to fake my British accent. Like, I've lived in America for 10 years. I'm not going to fake it. I think that more people should adopt that. Should adopt the, maybe I can let the bit go. Okay. Next one. As a teenager, I was in love with the boy next door. This was during peak quirky girl era. So I thought it'd be cute and quirky if I sat cross-legged on top of our mailbox in the front yard while reading a book. So I do that every afternoon for a few weeks, just hoping he would happen to look out his window and fall in love with me. Didn't work. I used to do something similar, except I would go into my backyard and we had a playground with like a little treehouse like vibe attached to it. And I would go up there and I would put a blanket out and I would read Jane Eyre. Have I ever finished that book? No. Do I have any plans to? Absolutely not. And you know what? These are the days before like Facebook and Instagram. So I was just living for the internal brand of it. Like, I just thought one day I would like tell somebody about it. Like, now with Instagram, you can at least post what you're doing and you can be performative in that way. I was just hoping somebody would ask me one day, what'd you do yesterday? Oh, I just sat in my backyard and read in the sunlight. And then somehow that would spread and people would be like, you know, Maddie reads in the sunlight. She reads classic British lit in the sunlight in a wooden treehouse. And that would become my brand. It was hard to brand yourselves before Instagram. And you know what? Bring back hyper curation. I miss that. I miss when Instagram was a highlight reel. Sometimes I see, specifically regarding motherhood, like I am all for a touch of reality. You know, tell people, oh, this was really hard. This is really hard. People get a little too into being real. People are a little too real for my taste. Like, you don't need to film like that video that went viral of the lady. She's like having an absolute mental breakdown at her son. And she's like saying like, that's so hard for me. I'm like, don't film this. Bring back hyper curation. Okay. Let this be a highlight reel. Keep your personal thoughts in your journal. Okay. Next one. Maddie, I'm so ashamed of my high school self. I could throw up. I watched every episode of My Little Pony and listened to dubstep music for a guy that I was into. I want you to really listen to that sentence that I just said, okay? I watched every episode of My Little Pony and I listened to dubstep music for a guy that I was into. Those are her two things that she got really into for a guy. My Little Pony and dubstep. Jail. He never showed any interest at all. Wouldn't even go out with me when my brother asked him to ask me out for my 16th birthday. But let's see. Don't ask me why I was so obsessed, because he was crusty then and he's still crusty now. Yeah, I could tell you he's crusty. He's a jabroni, a full, like the actual definition of a jabroni, not even in the context that like professional wrestlers say it. Do you guys know what a jabroni is? Let me look up the official definition 1 second. Oh my gosh. I'm actually learning right now that a jabroni is a wrestling term. I'm thinking of the word brony, an adult male fan of My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic franchise. Brony or bronies may also refer to works about the fan base. Interesting. I always thought jabroni was about My Little Pony, but turns out that's just the mere brony. Okay. Falling in love with a brony, not your finest hour. Next one. Back when I was in my first year of college, I was working at a movie theater and I had a huge crush on one of my coworkers. My idiot brain decided that it would be a really good idea to tell him that I was taking a psychology class and that my homework for that class was to go to people and ask them to kiss me and record their responses. I also told him that I would get extra credit if they actually kissed me. The detail this required. the brain power to come up with this like intense of a plot to get a guy to kiss you. I love it. I told him that I would get extra credit if they actually kissed me. He told me to meet him in one of the janitor's closets at work and he would get me the extra credit. And he would get me the extra credit. So I followed him into the closet and he tried to make out with me. I was a super late bloomer and I had never had a real kiss before. So I panicked and told him I couldn't and ran away. Plot twist, maybe 10 years later, he started working at my gym and I had to hide from him in case he remembered me. He did. He remembered you. I'm absolutely sure of it. Okay, next one. Maddie, I cannot believe I am owning up to this even anonymously. Your girl was what we would have called a boy crazy gal in her young adult years. To get a boy's attention, who I already had a thing with, I had written a dear diary love letter type journal filled with the sappiest, most dramatic type shit. I left this journal in his mailbox addressed to him as a gift. I don't even know. Basically professing my love to him in the most dramatic way I knew possible. It was a full journal, like pages and pages. I texted him saying that there was something in his mailbox. Oh, but before I did this, I made photocopies of every single page and glued them into another journal for my own keeping. Because for some reason, it was important enough for me to have not one, but two records of this shit. That's like Gone Girl, but pure version. That's like serial killer, but actually in love with them. I gotta say, sometimes women do things that I think, if a man were okay, so you know how, what was it? The voicemail episode where I was like, okay, think about like things that women do. And if a man was doing it, it would be cool. But because it's a woman doing it, it's like stupid, like buying tons of merch for something. I often think that sometimes women do things that if a man did it, it would be serial killer behavior. But you know what? That's not our fault because about 99.99999% of men, or sorry, of serial killers are men. So it's not our fault that, you know, the system is set up that way. Okay, next one. My husband and I had been on two dates and he wasn't a great texter. I was worried about him losing interest. So I looked on his Twitter and noticed that he talked about studying. I started studying in the same place. And within 2 days, I ran into him, got him to ask me out on another date. And a few years later, we were married. Light stalking feels justified from this perspective. I am telling you, sometimes you got to go with your gut. You got to go with the crazy. I just think that crazy women are the women who make things happen. Okay. I don't think they're harming society. I think they're getting shit done. All right. I was a freshman in college and I had a crush on this guy. I was way too shy to talk to him or ask him to hang out. So I planned a surprise birthday party for myself with my roommates so that we could invite him. Like we couldn't just invite him to a regular birthday party. I don't know. So I walked into my apartment completely surprised, even though I helped plan the whole thing. He did come, but I'm sure just out of pity. There is nothing better in my mind than a group of girls who agree to do something insane together, just like this. Like, I love a friend who's like, of course, we're going to go drive by his house and see whose car is outside. Of course, I'm going to text him from my number instead of yours because he doesn't have my number and we're going to find out what he says. Like, of course, we're going to do that. Womanhood is just validating these behaviors. Okay, I was quite literally obsessed with this boy that I had some classes with. I would journal about him, daydream about our wedding, etc. He took me on a date and I was overjoyed, but nothing really happened after that and he started dating another girl. I finally got over it because it turns out that he's actually a pig and I was just imagining a perfect guy based on the little I knew about him. Literally like a year later, my friend ended up going to a thing that he was also at and he brought me up and started talking about how I was obsessive and how he took me on a weird date once. Obviously, she told me everything right after and she said she froze. She didn't know what to do. So the next time we were out and he was there, this is what we did. We were joking about our types and she commented on how I like ugly guys. Knowing he was there, I obviously agreed with her and said, I think every guy I've ever liked or gone out with has been ugly. I need better taste in men. Because they've all been terrible. Then we started talking about the specific guys. And she said something along the lines of, OMG, remember the guy who tried to harmonize in the car? He sounded so icky. Basically describing him, I glanced over at him and he had the most confused look on his face. I think I saw his self-esteem die. 10 out of 10 experience. As I just talked about how listening to people harmonize, I will say, I'm sorry, there's just things that women can do that men can't. Harmonizing might be at the top of the list. I'm so sorry. It's interesting to observe. I mean, like, we all know at our cores, of course, men and women can and should do the same things. Okay. That goes without saying. But since I've been in my trigger warning gym era, I've noticed a lot of different behaviors from men and women, specifically in places like the gym. Men will linger on a machine like they are getting paid to do so. Women are hurrying. They are doing the most to get in and out of the machine as quickly as possible. Men set up camp on every single machine. And sometimes I will just like this happened a few weeks ago. I was needing a machine, needing the hamstring curl machine. Okay. Get my hammies going. Where was I going with that? Oh yeah. So I was like sitting there waiting and I was like, just observing like this guy. I mean, he's doing a few, he's getting off, he's leaning against the machine. He's on his phone and he didn't know I was waiting for him. So he wasn't like trying to be a dick. It was just like his regular Joe behavior. And he took, it was probably 20 minutes to do like, I don't know, four sets of two. Like it was crazy. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know why women feel so unwelcome in places like that. And it's really annoying. And I think it's actually a hurdle that a lot of women have of like going to the gym. And it's like, again, just think of how men do it. You are as welcome there as a man is. Okay, next one. Not me, but my brother. He drove all the way to Los Angeles to pick up a girl he was dating's rocking chair from her childhood home and surprised it with her. He literally drove for 24 hours round trip. She ghosted him after. Knowing myself, if a guy did that for me, if he drove a round trip to pick up a rocking chair from my childhood home, I'd probably accidentally marry him. I'd probably marry him just to people please. I mean, I did it once before. Who's to say I wouldn't marry to people please again? Oh, shut up, Maddie. Okay. Next one. It was middle school. I followed him and figured out where his locker was. Then on his birthday, I decorated it, including a picture of him when he was five at my birthday party, you know, because that would make him love me. He was creeped out. Oh, do you still have like your childhood crush's home phone number memorized? I have like three things in my brain that will never leave. One is that line from Billy Crystal's monologue from the 2004 Oscars. Two is my childhood crush's home phone number. And three is like where I was on 9/11. All right, next one. I write murder mysteries. I name the villains after my middle school nemeses. I also only kill white guys in the story because it's the little things. We have to hold on to something. We have to hold on to the little things. I was listening to my last episode just to make sure all was running smoothly. And I said in it, oh, I need to write a book. Or maybe, no, it was on the Patreon because I was talking about my divorce. And then I was like, oh, I got to write a book. And me and Lucy were talking about this, about like people writing books about their lives. And Lucy said, she was like, Julia, like people like Julia Fox need to write books. Regular Joes don't need to write books. And like I can't even think, like my life bores me sometimes. The only thing that could outbore my real life would be putting it in print. Like that is the most boring thing ever. I sometimes hear about people like writing books and I'm like, but what have you done? But what do you mean? Like, what do you mean you're going to write a book? Like, what have you done or accomplished? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I've accomplished more. Trust me. I'm sure they have accomplished more than I have. I just don't know if like your senior prom and then frequenting Chili's in your 20s is enough to warrant a book. Know thyself, everyone. Okay. Next one. In eighth grade, I put a boy's initials in my Instagram bio just to get him to notice me. He asked me if it stood for his initials, to which I told him it stood for breadfruit. It was an inside joke. And this was because they were his initials. That is like some MSN messenger type shit. Like, do you guys remember like the couples who always had like their best or their boyfriend's like initials in their username or like future misses, whatever? That was like, you know how now people get divorced and they like delete all of their photos and they change their last name. We have been born and bred to do that because we were doing it with MSN Messenger. We were doing it with boyfriends in the sixth and seventh grade. Like, we noticed that stuff. Like nothing gets by us. Next one. When I was a preteen, I laid in the middle of the living room. This is not relationship. This was just weird kid behavior. I laid in the middle of the living room floor and made my breathing super shallow so it would look like I wasn't breathing. My family was not worried at all, and they just stepped around or over me. No words were said. I just gave up eventually and got on and carried on with my day with the knowledge that my family didn't love me and wouldn't care if I lived or died. This is something I know that I would do. I used to lay on the living room couch. This happened my entire childhood. Sometimes I do it now and I wonder what is wrong with my brain, because I will pretend to be asleep because I just like the thought of this is such a weird thing to talk about. But like when I was little, I would kind of secretly lay on the couch with just one eye open. I just wanted to see how people behaved around me while I was sleeping. Like, not to be weird, okay? Just like I wanted to see, were they gonna like come put a blanket over me? Were they gonna ignore me completely? Like, and sometimes now I do it. Like, I want to see if Gray will like, is he gonna like give me a kiss on the forehead? Like while I'm sleeping, is he gonna like tuck me in or like whisper "I love you" in my ear? Like, I just want to know. I need to be evaluated. Okay, wait. Okay, the beginning of this is cut off and I don't know why, but basically she's talking about the Miranda Lambert song, "Your Mama's Broken Heart," where she just lists diabolically insane things she did because she was so heartbroken and my family deemed it as my anthem because that's how unhinged this gets. I was 18, religious, and totally in love with a guy 5 years older than me. We picked out rings, had wedding dates, and I was going to marry him. Then he dumped me a few weeks before we both moved for school. In those few weeks, I drove by his house a million times, at one point getting out and loudly sobbing and throwing whatever was in my pockets at his windows. I would drive to his work and park down the street just hoping to catch a glimpse of slash run into him. Once we moved, we lived super close to each other, and I stole bumper sticker slash magnets off his car so that I wouldn't be able to, oh my gosh, so that I wouldn't be able to tell if it was him I saw driving around. But then I would go sit outside his apartment, hoping for him to see me looking hot and nonchalant. And probably the worst was the day after the breakup. You can totally cut this out. Trigger warning, self-harm. I cut myself with a kitchen knife and I sent him a picture. Now that I know how actually crazy I am, I worked through my tendencies. It's been 11 years and I'm a stable, hot, cool, fun wife and mom. But geez, I cringe at how unhinged I was at 18. Justifiable? Maybe, maybe not. We love a self-aware queen, a queen who says, oops, need help on that. Oops, not normal behavior. I find that a lot of crazy things that women do, they are actually more self-aware about them than they know, but they have worked themselves up enough to justify it. Or they have good friends around them who are willing to let them do it. Okay, this one actually came up a few times. I spent a solid hour and a half straight blocking every single person who follows me from seeing my Instagram story, with the exception of my ex-boyfriend, so I could post a hot and slightly scandalous selfie with a "tell me anything" question box in hopes that he would proclaim his love for me. After removing over 1,000 people from my story, he simply viewed it. They never ask. They never slide in through those Q&A boxes ever. Okay, next one. Or this is the last one. We'll end here. I stalked my ex's Tumblr for 7 years post-breakup just to see his uncensored updates. Okay, men on Tumblr, red flag. I would occasionally send an anonymous ask now and then, maybe once every other year, but nothing that would give it away. I did this until he finally deactivated his account a month ago. It had 12 years of information on it, photography and fandom stuff and posts, just gone in a heartbeat, which I assume his wife finally made him delete. Personally, I hope it's devastating to him to have lost it. Once I saw it was gone, I stole his screen name with a new account so he could never start back up under the same name. Can you tell I really recovered well from dating that one? Men on Tumblr, give me bad vibes. I don't know how I feel about that. Don't know how I feel about you stalking a Tumblr for 12 years. Actually, that is so Tumblr of you to stalk a Tumblr for 12 years. You are a tortured soul. And I love that for you. My Tumblr is still alive and well. And honestly, I never like posted anything of my own. I just like reblogged or whatever it was. And honestly, it's still fire. Like the taste I had when I was 18, I was so ahead of my time. I want to read to you guys some of the things that I reblogged. First of all, the last time I updated my Tumblr, I was 22. So it's almost been almost 10 years. I guess not. It's almost been 9 years, but I was 22. So let's see. I take back everything I said about it being cool. Do you think because you touched me, you know me? You're just a boy and I have galaxies growing inside of me. Keeping your head above the clouds, but the rest of you drowning. Wait, keeping your head above the clouds. What is this sentence? Keeping your head above the clouds, but the rest of you is drowning in the lakes, caught up in old loves and old mistakes. I'm sure that's lyrics from a song I've literally never listened to. I so often worry that my... So often I worry that I will lose my softness, for there is so much in this world that fills me with rage. Like, what could have filled me with rage at the age of 22? I knew nothing. I was so naive. The thing I was probably talking about was like having to park far away when I went to class. Okay, if you don't end up smiling while you're kissing somebody, you are probably kissing the wrong person. Oh, she wear... Oh my gosh. These are so bad. For the record, I didn't think of these. Okay. I just reblocked them. She wears all black, just like her soul, yet her heart is made of gold. Maybe we'll meet again when we're slightly older and our minds less hectic, and I'll be right for you and you'll be right for me. But right now I am chaos to your thoughts and you are poison to my heart. Who allowed me to have internet access? I had to fight like hell, and fighting like hell has made me what I am. What hard thing did I go through at that age? Let me tell you, absolutely nothing. The hardest thing I had experienced at age 22 was not being able to go to the One Direction concert when I went to London. That was my biggest trial. I was such a dumb, naive bitch. I should have been locked away. Don't worry. Life came for me later. All right. I may not have had a heart until then, but my 20s made up for it. You never apologized to me for hurting me, but I apologized to you 12 times for being angry about it. That one actually still hits. That one's actually, I definitely still put this one. Cigarettes look so harmless, but then again, so did you. Cigarettes? 22-year-old Maddie wouldn't even look at a Monster energy drink. You think she had ever even held a cigarette? Actually, when Fault in Our Stars, whatever it was, came out, I literally went and bought a pack of cigarettes because I just wanted to put one in my mouth. And I did. And yes, I repented many, many times for it. Okay. All right. I got to end it here before we get too deep into my Tumblr and I actually start feeling things. Thank you guys for being here. Oh, and indulging me for these moments that we have together. I love you so much. Follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast to answer the weekly questions or leave voicemails. We'll probably do voicemails again soon. I really like that. You guys are the best. I love you so much. You can join Patreon, $5 a month, 2 extra episodes. Link is in my bio. We have new merch coming soon. I don't think it'll be out by the time this episode airs, but it's good. And I think you guys are going to like it. It's really... I giggled many times over the new merch. I love you. Be safe. Be kind. Be hot. Keep it crazy. Keep it cute. I love you so much. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. Remember, you can catch a new episode of The Bad Broadcast every Monday. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss anything. Also, I want to hear from you, so please leave a rating and review. You can also follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast for all the behind the scenes action and more information. Talk to you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.